The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic real estate sectors. We also interview chairpersons, and we're very excited to have a heavyweight guest on the pod this week. She is Phumzile Langeni, the outgoing chair of Delta Property Fund. Langeni is one of South Africa's top corporate board executives and has been on a number of boards over the years, with Delta announcing her, in quote, retirement. She will exit the Property Counters board in February next year, when Paul Makwana will take over the role. He will come in. He's actually been included in the board as of the end of October. But Langeni is a prominent South African businesswoman in her own right as executive chair of AfroPulse Group. She also once served as a special envoy to President Cyril Ramaphosa, tasked with attracting foreign and local investment. Welcome to the Property Pod, Phumzile. Great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Suren. That resume sounded so good, I had to check as to whether it was mine.
Modest as always. You're leaving Delta board. Are you happy where the fund is currently? I know that's a very broad question and there's still a lot of work to be done. But the question comes in considering that you came in with your new board several years back to kind of clean up the company, one could say, considering the governance issues it had under its previous leadership.
So, Suren, I mean, one's journey wasn't supposed to have lasted this long. But unfortunately, when we joined the board and also in partnership with existing board members, there was a journey that we had to undertake. It wasn't the one that was most glorifying in Delta's history, but certainly there's a lot of good work that we did as a board, not only in dealing with the reputational issues, all of the other issues that followed, investor perceptions, etc., but importantly as well, in finding a new strategy for Delta, which was what we thought was fit, given the changes that had happened within the property space, the changes within government and what they meant for landlords, especially those of our type, with the type of portfolio that we had, and also in invigorating the business and ensuring that it remains sustainable and continues to operate for many more years to come. So in making this decision, I did think it had been 5 years. It was very opportune. Delta strategy, which I'm sure is very well known to you, as well as a lot of your listeners, is one that we believe will deliver sustainable growth. It is underpinned by a robust core portfolio. But of course, we do have some of the legacy non-core assets, which are a bit of a drag. But certainly, I think it was time to go as the company looks to a new path.
Now, you are the chairperson, you're not the CEO, so I'm not going to delve too much into the operational side of things, but how would you describe your time at the company? There was a lot to do and, you know, there still is a lot to achieve.
Yeah, I have to say there was certainly a lot to do. It would be remiss of me not to say we did inherit some very good parts within Delta. There were governance issues, admittedly, and there were some operational issues which were well surfaced in the media as well as in investor roadshows. But my time has been characterized by watching the business evolve from where it was, some of the issues that we were dealing with, to being a counter where people will ask about its strategy and not necessarily about some of the negative legacy issues that we had to navigate from 2020. So it continues, as you say, to be a counter where a lot more work needs to be done. The strategy is very clear. It is well understood, being executed on. So I can definitely say that it's been a time of reflection. And from a business perspective, it's also a reminder that with businesses, we've got to continuously be mindful of the operating environment, adapt as and when is required, and always remain vigilant.
Now, are you confident Delta will make a comeback post your exit, perhaps pay dividends because, you know, it's still listed and, you know, it has a big portfolio, but unfortunately, it's not the billion rand market cap fund it was, you know, before its issues, you know, pre-COVID.
Well, Suren, I wouldn't want to preempt the financial results that will be announced as is public knowledge towards the middle of November. So there you'd see very much what the company is citing directionally. But certainly from previous engagements, which are also public knowledge, is that the company does have aspirations to pay distributions. But of course, all of these things are underpinned by the strategy, which also is which also turns very much on the disposal program.
And there has been some big disposals, even some iconic assets we actually reported on earlier this year, the sale of that old Southern Life or Field Street building in Durban. But Delta has quite a strong government bias in many ways. But Phumzile, from a personal level, are you retiring from other boards? Does this mean you're taking a little bit of a proper retirement, or are you going to be joining other boards to give you some free time off, you know, not being involved with Delta in the future might open up other opportunities for you?
So I'm not joining any new board. You know, I have over the years restructured my board portfolio, looked at my commitments, but also it's always good to look at the freshness of your contribution to any board. So there's no board on the horizon. My retiring from Delta was for the reasons that I mentioned. You know, it's been 5 years. It should be five plus years when I retire next month. And knowing that the company must look forward, it's also good to bring in new directors, as we have done, also bring in a new chairman of the board to give a fresh perspective to some of the work that we had undertaken.
Thanks for that. What are some of the boards you're still involved with? I know you're no longer on Woolworths, but a quick search, you know, you have had roles at Nedbank, and I know Imperial is not listed anymore, but you're on the DP World board. Is that still the case?
Yes, that is correct. So my portfolio is quite light, and I'm going to enjoy the free time that this will come with. And I still serve on the board of Metrophile, but certainly I'm not looking at anything in the short term.
And business opportunities, AfroPulse and others, I'm mixing it up a little bit here, but historically, I think Delta might have needed it, but historically, from a look at your previous responsibilities, you didn't have, Delta was your first, as far as I'm concerned, your listed property fund chair role. Do you have investments in the SA commercial property sector?
Well, Soren, I can definitely say you are very well informed. Delta Property Fund is our only investment in the property space. We are not looking at any investment within the property space at this point in time or at any other point, to be honest. So you can safely say that it will remain our sole exposure in the space.
Okay. So I'll have to check up with you once you do start paying dividends. And apologies for the earlier question. I should have done my homework and checked that you're in a closed period at the moment. But Phumzile, very broad question here, but it's considering your not just your board experience, you know, you have probably paid a lot of governance responsibilities in your various board roles in the past, but you once were SA investment envoy or advisor to President Ramaphosa. I know it's been a few years down the line now, but you must be quite happy about the South Africa exiting the grey list, because I was just at a Redefined results presentation earlier on Monday, and they are quite excited about it. Do you think South Africa is getting back on the right track from a governance and economic growth perspective?
I would say this is a big feather on our cap. You know, to have been able to navigate this, to ensure that all of the respective financial institutions who are a significant part of this play, were able to work with the Reserve Bank, work with the various government agencies to deliver on this result, is something very remarkable. As South Africans, we must be very proud. This is not something that we should take lightly. And importantly, it once again echoes the sentiment of collaboration between South Africa, the government, the private sector, as well as the various agencies and spheres of government. So it is an excellent milestone to have exited the list, but it also is a reminder that we shouldn't be complacent. I do think that some of the articles we read about, you know, the corruption and all of the various things that undermine our financial systems are the things that will need to be dealt with swiftly where there is consequence, because as a country, we can't afford to find ourselves back to where we were.
Now, talking about consequence, it's another broad question, but is that what keeps you up at night? Is it obviously you have a broad portfolio? You said Delta is that's the only investment that the group is involved with. But what keeps you up as a South African and as a corporate governance expert, one could argue?
I would say as a South African, it certainly is our growth trajectory. You know, it is not pleasing to see that a lot of South Africans who are part of the active working population are not at work. I think it's not just about what that does in terms of the fiscal impact, but certainly just from a person being able to wake up, be a contributor to society, their own psychological well-being, and for a South African or anyone who is in South Africa to believe that they have the opportunity of being able to ply their trade and reach their potential. So for me, the low rate of growth, I think some of the policies or some of, you know, the things that we have seen which stymie that economic growth, these are the things that require urgent attention. And it's not just about, you know, the direction we're getting from Treasury. This cascades down to how municipalities are delivering on services, the efficient use of the financial resources which come from South African taxpayers, be they corporates, individuals like you and me, and various other organizations. So I think for me, the clarion call really is about improving that economic growth trajectory, but also it's about accountability and stewardship. And those are the principles embedded in governance, where in the absence of strong accountability and stewardship and people in power remembering that they're not there to serve their interests, but to serve the interests of those that they lead or those whom they must look after, you know, it's only then that you have a sense where a society starts to act responsibly. And for me, a lot of that also comes down to consequence management. You know, I think there's been enough indulgence, people have gotten enough time to learn, and having the right person occupying the right seat is fundamental in us being able to move our country forward.
Thanks for that, Phumzile. Before you go, it's a cliche question, but it's, as I said, it's quite a big thing to have you on our podcast. What would you say has been behind your success as a woman in business, and what are your thoughts on potentially a woman president one day, or, you know, more women being in charge to make a difference in South Africa?
Well, you know what they say, Suren, educate a woman, you educate a nation. So definitely I would applaud the appointment of a female president. And I guess the criteria is no different from a man. This is someone who must be capable, someone of high integrity, and someone who will have a vision of leading our country forward. In terms of my success, I've been blessed with having a very supportive family, from my parents, my siblings, my broader family and networks. I've also had the benefit and the fortune, really, of having many people along the way who have contributed positively to my career, be it by advising me, sharing their perspective, having the opportunity of observing them and learning from them, and also being very grateful for the opportunities that I have been afforded. And probably the one that will always stand out was being, you know, nominated amongst many capable South Africans to be part of the president's vision in delivering what was at the time seen as a steep target, the $100 billion inward investment into South Africa. It was a very humbling experience.
Thank you so much, Phumzile. That was Phumzile Langeni, the outgoing chairperson of Delta Property Fund and who's also executive chair of AfroPulse Group.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.